This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
I watched this documentary about a person who got stranded out in sea. Anybody ever been stranded out in sea? Out at sea? Me neither. Yes, I finally found a category that nobody raised their hands. And despite knowing it was harmful to drink seawater because they were so desperate, their dehydration was so intense that they consumed salt water, which leads to actual further dehydration. And it's sadly because it just starts shutting down their organs. Their kidneys can't handle the salt, and it just gets worse and worse. The study showed, or the documentary that I watched showed, that the primary reason for drinking seawater when your brain knows that you shouldn't is that there's such an immediate, intense desire to quench a thirst that, like a survival mode, kicks in, and you know your brain's not thinking anymore. And even though your brain knows not to do it, they do it. And especially when there's no other available option, and especially if there's a false hope that if I just drink a little bit, it won't hurt me. I just look out in the audience. A few of you like to run a long distance. I don't know why. They do it for fun. And I remember years and years ago, some of our ladies from our church ran the Tallahassee Marathon. And I can remember as I was driving here, there were certain drink stations. And the reason there was drink stations is because, especially a runner, needs to hydrate. And so, and usually, like I've watched, one time I was in Atlanta, I was at the, I just happened to be there during a Peachtree Marathon Classic, and I just happened, my hotel was at like the ending point, and I go down to get some donuts, and it's really funny, you know, running a marathon, I'm eating donuts. Come on, guys, you gotta run faster than that. And so, but man, those at the end, I mean, people were just downing water or whatever they were drinking, but I'm sure it was good hydration. So why am I sharing you these stories? Well, we are in the process of going through the Beatitudes, and we've already done this summer, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's a posture of humility. Blessed those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. And this morning, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I have this little mug here. It's empty. I'm not going to do any magic tricks. But how do you fill an empty cup? And it sounds silly, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. Is how do we fill? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Have you ever been through a church fast? You know, usually it's beginning of the year. And we've done, historically as a church, we've done fast in the past. But have you ever done a fast where no food, just water? Anybody? I'm raising my hands. I didn't realize how addicted I was to carbs and sugar. And I didn't realize how much all our stuff has sugar in it. You know, try to find food without sugar, it's good luck. And the reason I say that is that I remember experiencing like this craving that I wanted for some food. Has anybody ever done more than a 7-day fast? People are like, I don't want to brag, but Yeah, and all of a sudden you realize what you really crave, right? It's amazing what you'll find out about your own self. And so this morning I want us to really concentrate on the passage. Are we really craving, or do our souls really crave righteousness? Jesus says, blessed are those who feel that spiritual desperation. Now, I don't like to fast from time to, I'll do it from time to time, but I remember growing up missing lunch, and you felt like I was on a 10-day fast. It's like it gnaws at you, consumes your thoughts, it drains your energy. So I just find it interesting psychologically how hunger can really take control. My daughter-in-law here sitting in front, she triggered a thought. I remember, I'm like, oh, I'm starving. And she says, you're probably not really starving. and it dawned on me, because I think, I can't remember the exact thing, but if you were really hungry, you would feel it differently than down here. It'd be like up here. And I realized I really wasn't starving, but it really kind of preoccupied my thoughts. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:6, which we just read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. It's not a casual desire, it's a deep, aching need, just like we do for food, or I did for food. But we're not deep, aching need for food, but for righteousness. So what does it mean? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Help us, Lord, as we tackle these passages. Lord, I pray, God, that we don't walk out the same way we walked in. Lord, that we would literally say to you in our hearts, in our minds, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Lord, help us to not be caught up into, I hope my friend's listening, I hope my spouse is listening. Lord, help us to listen. Help me to listen this morning. We love you, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you take us the way you found us. For Lord, you love us so much that you don't want to leave us how you found us. But Lord, you want to mold us and make us in a way that brings you the greatest glory and the greatest purpose for our lives. Lord, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember last time I spoke, it's a couple weeks ago, I talked about, do the Beatitudes work in prison? And that's a challenge, right? We talked about meekness in prison. And when this person I know, I follow on podcast, he does a prison ministry. And he asked his prison Bible study, do the Beatitudes work in prison? And they were saying, not really, especially in the blessed are those who are meek. And they were saying that really, if you want to be blessed in prison, you have to, it's like the opposite of the Beatitudes. And so it was a challenge, and it really kind of slapped me across the face and gave me a sobering moment. Well, you know, we live in a world that's maybe it is different, but not that different. And so I want to challenge us. Lord, give us ways to live this out. I don't think he's given us things that we can live out that are impossible. And certain circumstances, I imagine, are more difficult than others. So I understand that. But a hunger and thirst. What does Jesus mean by righteousness? And it would be really easy for us, this is not easy, but it would be easy for us to reduce the word righteousness into moral behavior. Well, as long as you don't do this, you're seeking after righteousness. You know, we joked around. I was just at a national convention, and they have this program for kids, and they do all sorts of, we call fine arts, from singing to dancing to human videos. Do you guys know what human videos are? Yeah? I think that's really a subculture, a phenomenon. And so, and typically the human videos, you know, they depict a good and evil scene, and the bad scene is the one that, you know, like, you know, they do this, or they're drinking, or whatever, and those are not good things. But this is the thing that Jesus is talking about is it's not doing that and not doing that. What is it? And let's be careful not to only reduce it to a moral behavior or being a good person or following the rules. I believe what Jesus is telling us and his disciples is something much deeper. And it's about relationship. It's relationship with God the Father. It's about living in alignment with God's will and his character in his kingdom. Does that make sense? So you could have really good moral people who are not aligned with his kingdom, who are not aligned with his character. One of the authors I like to read, he reminds us, his name is Ian Duguid, reminds us that righteousness is not something we achieve, it's something we receive. Does that make sense? It's the relationship. Now, if you're going to go do drugs and all those kind of stuff, you are not living the life that God's called you, and you can sever that relationship, that closeness with the Lord. But because you don't do that doesn't mean you have a relationship with Jesus. I can think of a lot of nice, good people that are far from God. I imagine you can too. Jesus is the hero in this story, not you and not me. He lived a perfectly righteous life. He fulfilled all righteousness, and he offers that to us freely. I'm telling you, this little mug that's at my feet is empty. It cannot be filled by me doing something other than putting myself in a posture of poverty and asking the Lord to fill my cup. You know, I shared a video, a picture a few weeks back about a lady who was so impoverished she couldn't even look out into, you know, make eye contact, and her head was down. This was in South America, right in front of a beautiful cathedral. And the only thing she could do is basically hold a cup out. She didn't actually have a cup. She didn't have enough money to have a cup, but just her hand, and made it into a shape of a cup. So when Jesus talks about hungering for righteousness, he's not calling us to strive harder. He's calling us to long for him and to be in his presence. From time to time, you might hear us say, his presence is our reward. And Jesus, is calling us. He's calling us because he longs for us, desires for us to be in his presence, to live like him in character, and allow the kingdom of God to rule in my life and in your life. Now, the Bible doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who dabble in righteousness, or for some of you who occasionally, like on Sundays, maybe we might hunger for righteousness. He says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Do you see the intensity of those words? It's like that runner running and he's dying of thirst, and at the end was, you know, can't do, you know, it's like he'll do anything to get that cup of water. Or that person who's lost at sea. Sadly, in the story I told you, he's drinking water that will not help him and actually hurt him. But that intensity of wanting to help reduce that pain of thirst. It's urgent. It's intense. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. These are urgent desires. I think of the Israelites in the wilderness, desperate for water, or the prodigal son, starving in a foreign land, thought he would find fulfillment somewhere else. And when you hunger and thirst, you basically are desperate. And so the Beatitudes invites us to examine what kind of desires do we have? What do we really, truly hunger for? I pray none of you are hungering just for success or comfort. Again, as I was at this national convention, a lawyer spoke, and she talked about people that she knew who were being persecuted because of the gospel. And we did a sermon series a long time ago on the book of Daniel, and we talked about how the enemy sometimes will use a stick to get you to bow and bend your knees and bow to the idol that the enemy wants you to bow to. And remember in the past, we used to pray for those poor people in those persecuted lands, the persecuted church, and we do pray for them. Lord, help them, stand strong because, the government or the culture is trying to get them to bow their knee to serve those idols. And then it dawned on me as we were doing the series on Daniel, those people in the persecuted church are probably praying for us, that we don't bow our knee to the idols. But the enemy over here is using something different. He's not using a stick. He's using a carrot. The carrot of comfort. And I am susceptible to that. I love air conditioning. Anybody else? I was in Orlando this week, man. It was blazing hot. I know it's hot here, but at least we have shade, okay? There's no shade down there. But I was... It was intense, and I really wanted to have this understanding and hunger for God, but I also am always being tempted with comfort, and approval. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so our challenge here in America and in the West is... We're not really being persecuted, okay? I know we'd like to say that, but you have to go overseas to see what real persecution looks like. What we are being is asked to be uncomfortable, and we don't like that. We want to be comfortable. And I think that's a tool of the enemy sometimes, to use that strong desire to be comfortable. I think it was C.S. Lewis. No, it was A.W. Tozier. That talks about that, we say we live by faith, but we do everything we can in order not to live by faith. And so Jesus is challenging his followers. By de facto, that means us. Blessed are those not who dabble in righteousness, not those who occasionally think about it, but those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that's the beautiful news, is that if it was up to me, I couldn't fill this cup. It would be impossible, but Jesus can. If we come to him thirsty and hungry, he's the one that can fill us. Jesus makes this incredible, stunning promise. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, guess what? They will what? They'll be filled. It's not maybe they will be filled. It's a guarantee. Those who hunger for righteousness will be filled. Not with self-righteousness. Have you ever met a self-righteous person? Not with temporary fixes, but you'll be filled with the righteousness of Christ. And I have been guilty, and I imagine you, if you're being honest, would say you've been guilty with temporary fixes. I'm not going to talk about credit cards, but I've been there. I remember one time I just felt like I needed to go to Disney World. I forget where it was, actually. And I just used that card, the temporary fix. And the more I thought about it, I think it was because all my friends, my people who were in my age bracket, they were all going to Disney World, and I needed that fix of somehow feeling part of that group. But Jesus wants to be our purpose, and he'll fill us. It's a promise. He makes a stunning promise that we shall be satisfied. This is not a vague hope. It's a guarantee. For those who hunger for righteousness will be filled. As I said, not with temporary fixes, but with the righteousness of God. So I would say sanctification, the process. So when we accept Jesus into our heart and we bow our hearts to Jesus, we are made justified. We are justified at that moment. So Jesus, his blood covers us. We ask for forgiveness. He covers us. We are found justified. But there is a process of sanctification, process of being molded in his image. And the Lord is challenging us to never stop growing in him. That's why I'm really... I want to challenge us. I want to challenge you that you don't want to go out these doors the same way you walked in, week after week after week. We want to have a way where we're moldable by God, that our jars of clay or our clay is still moldable, not hardened. So sanctification, and I would say satisfaction in Jesus comes in a couple ways as well, is because we were justified, we were declared righteous before God. And through sanctification, we grow in his righteousness day by day. I thank the Lord I'm not the same person I was when I first came to know him. And you would thank the Lord I'm not the same person that I was the day that I accepted Jesus. Man, I was a mess, and Jesus took me in as a mess. I think of our dear friends in the back that have they have children that have come from really messy situations. And Jeremy and Julie, I'm not trying to put a focus on you. I know you're not perfect. We all, none of us are perfect. But I can see this picture just looking at you guys where you're just taking in kids that have been in a mess. And that's me. And that's really you, even though you may not totally understand it. But we were all in a mess. And Jesus, through dying on the cross, brought us in and made us justified, made us part of his family. And just like you guys do, you have to bring discipline and help them learn how to eat proper food and how to, you know, learn the ABCs and all that kind of stuff. And the same thing, that's a process of sanctification. And the more we align ourselves with God's plan, next thing you know, he fills us with righteousness, desire for righteousness. So thank you. One day we will be fully transformed. And we were going to see Jesus face to face, and we will be like him. I don't know if I already shared this story. I've been speaking at so many conferences, I don't know what I've said. So if I've repeated myself, please forgive me. And I only share this because I believe in vulnerability. As a church, we've always done that. I'm not perfect. You probably already know that. And if you don't know that, you will know that. I'm not perfect. Nor do I hide behind a veil of trying to give you the impression that I'm perfect, because that's a hard way to live. Anyway, the other day, I can't remember if I shared this, but the other day I was in the bathroom getting ready for church, and I said, it's all coming back to me. I think I already told you, but I'll finish. Hey, honey, can you believe we're going to be married 38 years? And she was being funny, and she goes, and we still haven't figured it out. And I'm like, that's true, we have not. But we're not finished products. We are not, you're not a finished product. And you don't want to be a finished product. You want to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to mold us. But as we walk in that journey with Jesus and we seek him, we grow in righteousness every day. And then one day we'll be final project when we go before the Lord. So the promise of being filled is not based on performance. It's based on grace and relationship. So when I was growing in Jesus, it's not because nobody was making me. But I wanted to be close to the Lord. I knew that certain things in my life needed to go away in order to have that close intimacy with Jesus. I didn't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So, it's not based on performance, it's based on relationship. So how do we live this out? How do we cultivate this hunger that you may not have right now? And I can be honest with you, there are times where I didn't have it. I was very comfortable in where my journey with Jesus is, and the last thing I wanted was somebody to tell me to grow. Prayer. Ask God to stir your heart, and we're going to do that in a minute. Confess your distractions and idols. We all have them. Read his word. One thing I would love to read the word, and I think I've said this, that when I read the word, I'm looking at myself as the antagonist in the story. So I identify with the people who are just going to Jesus to get fish and loaves. You know, I'm not going to follow him to the nth degree. I identify with Judas who betrayed Jesus, and I don't even need 30 pieces of silver. I identify with that. I identify with the Pharisees. I like making rules for others to follow. I identify with people who wanted to stone Stephen because they were too harsh with their words and I felt convicted. And so I'll just say, like, well, he's probably not really living it. I don't really throw stones, but I'll throw stones. I identify. So I place myself in a position of humility when I read the scriptures. Yesterday, men's breakfast, which is powerful, we talk about community. Surround yourself with others who hunger for righteousness. I work with young adults called Chi Alpha, and I go from campus to campus to campus. And I am telling you, one of the most beautiful things is I will talk to a student or a young staff, and I said, what drew you to Jesus? And they said this, almost every campus, and they don't know each other, almost every campus, they said, I didn't really know Jesus. I kind of grew up in church. And so they hounded me to come to this event. And for the first time in my life, and this person has grown up in church, I saw fellow classmates who literally had hunger and thirst for righteousness. They absolutely loved Jesus. And their mind was blown like, I have never seen a 19-year-old hungry and thirsty for Jesus. They have never seen it, and they grew up in church. And they basically says, I need what they have, which is Jesus. So back to what can we cultivate this hunger is prayer and reading scripture, but community. And surround yourself with others who hunger for righteousness. Encourage one another. And then challenge one another. That's why we have the kids up here. I don't want them to go to college. And they say, I've never seen anybody really hunger and thirsty for righteousness. And I know it's hard on the parents. I'm thinking long term. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But I need our children to see adults, what it looks like for adults to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to go after God, modeling one to another is just paramount. And then live out our righteousness in our relationships, in your work, your witness. I believe hunger leads to action. Just like you're hungry after this, you're going to probably go downstairs and eat some pizza for the children. But sometimes hunger, you know, physical hunger will make you go and do something about it. You'll go to the fridge and you'll make yourself a sandwich and you'll do something about it. Spiritual hunger, same kind of thing. What are we going to do about it? Hunger is not a burden, it's a blessing. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled. So the good news is that you don't have to be the hero for yourself. You know, you're like, okay, now I got to grit my teeth and tighten my belt and clench my fist. No, you just, your role is to be hungry for Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. We did that years ago. He is our living water. He truly is the righteousness that we crave. And it's a promise, it's a guaranteed promise that will be filled. He promised to satisfy every soul that longs for him. So I'm asking you, are you willing to come to Jesus hungry and thirsty in order to be filled? This cup's empty. Yeah, maybe your life's empty like mine at times, and it only can be filled through him. So I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes for a moment. Lord, some of us are like the prodigal son who basically wandered away and found himself hungry. The things that he was indulging himself with did not fill his spiritual hunger appetite. And his hunger drove him back to his Father. Lord, help us to be drawn back to you. Lord, help us to understand the first beatitude, which is a spirit of brokenness and humility. Lord, help us to admit to the Lord, Lord, I'm not even hungry for righteousness. But Lord, I know that that's not a good sign. Lord, help us to realize our emptiness when we stray from you. And Lord, through your Holy Spirit, help us to understand that only you can satisfy that hunger and thirst. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you don't just give us the leftovers of scraps, but Lord, you give us yourself. It doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they are welcomed. No, it says they will be filled and satisfied. So Lord, I ask that these next few weeks, and I know it's going to be a challenge this week with many of people here with kids at school, and traffic is going to build up, and when Florida State starts up in a week later, Lord, it's just going to be a challenge. But Lord, I pray that all of us will take time, spend some time with you, Jesus, and ask you to fill our cup. Lord, be speaking for myself, so easy to fill my cup with activities and YouTube channels and, from time to time, like a Netflix thing. But Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to increase that hunger for you. Every eye closed and head bowed, and I'm going to just ask you to raise your hand and say, Pastor Mario, my hunger for the Lord probably needs to be increased. Just raise your hand. Yes, hands all over. I'm raising my hand, so don't feel like you're alone. You can put your hands down. Lord, I pray, God, that those hands that were raised, the hands that were maybe afraid to be raised, Lord, that you would, this week, Lord, as we put ourselves in a posture to receive, the Lord, that you would begin to fill our cup with yourself. Lord, help us, Lord, increase our hunger for righteousness, relationship. Lord, help us to not assume that it's just going to happen, Lord, but help us to put ourselves in that posture to receive. We love you, Father, and I pray, God, Mosaic Church, Lord, that we would be a church that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Before we say amen, I pray, God, that you would, all of us and myself included, would just speak to someone, say, hey, Lord, I raised my hand and the Lord really challenged me to increase my hunger for him. And that's all you have to say, or pray for me. I think it keeps that posture of humility and in that capacity to say, yes, someone's going to pray for me, that as I take time to spend with our Lord, that the hunger and thirst would be for righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And Bill, we good? Bill's an awesome servant. He's the kind of guy that you want on your Rolodex. You guys know what a Rolodex is? I meet so many people that do not know what a Rolodex is. He helps out. So a lot of stuff that maybe we need at the last second, Bill's our guy, and I really appreciate it. So may the Lord be with you. And I just want to pray a blessing upon you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. He is risen. God bless you. We're dismissed. Everyone's welcome to stay downstairs and enjoy some fellowship. And there's enough pizza for the kids and maybe you possibly to get a slice. God bless you. We're dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.